I wanted to just go look at just you know how God leads in our lives and how we need to let Him lead in our lives. So if you want to open your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 13, are we on? Yeah, we on? Good, perfect. Don't need it too loud anyway. Pretty loud. Alright, so Exodus chapter 13, and verse 17, we'll pick off there. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God let them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. For God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Let's just open in a word of prayer before we go further into the study tonight. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day that we can worship you, that we can praise you, Lord, and that we can just be edified and exhorted, Lord, amongst the brethren. That's why we gather, Lord. That's why the church is here, not just to hear the preaching and not just to be taught, Lord, but also to edify each other. You know, if we were alone in this world, it'd be a lot more difficult than it is without our Christian brothers and sisters, Lord. And we're thankful for this family. We're thankful that we have somewhere to come here, Lord. And we thank you that we've got a roof over our heads where we can just gather together and just to fellowship and to worship you, Lord. And we just thank you now, God, that we've got a time to listen to your word. I pray that you just soften our hearts, Lord God, open our minds. Let's be attentive to your word. And I pray that I would just come across with understanding and clarity, Lord, and that you would just use your Holy Spirit to do the rest, Lord, to do the teaching, God. And we just praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, when we're picking up in Exodus chapter 13, by way of context, up to this point, Israel, okay, were in the bondage in Egypt. Okay, they were in bondage for 3 years in Egypt. They were controlled by Egypt. Egypt was oppressing them. Egypt was hurting them, destroying them. But you know, God had a plan for Israel to be saved from that bondage. You know, He had a plan for them to be saved, and the plan was simple. Israel would have to put their faith in the blood of the Lamb. Okay? They would have to put their faith in the blood of the Lamb. You know, Israel were saved from the judgment of God, which was the tenth plague, the last judgment at the time against Egypt, was the killing of the firstborn. And Israel were saved, they were spared from that, because they obeyed Him and they trusted in the Lamb's blood for their salvation. Okay, that's the Passover. You know, when we're celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating the birth of Christ, and we're thankful that He was born, because if He wasn't born, then He wouldn't have been able to go and die on the cross for us and to be resurrected and to save us. So we wouldn't have had no Passover if Christ wasn't born. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Now, the people of Israel here, they were also told to remember what God had did for them coming out of Egypt, what the Lamb meant to them time and time again. That's why they established the Feast of the Passover. In fact, a few chapters before, God commanded Moses to teach the people of Israel to remember what I've done for you, to remember how I've taken you with a strong hand out of Egypt from the bondage of your sins, from the dangers that were in Egypt, and I've brought you along safely. I've saved you from Egypt, and all you have to do is put the trust in my plan, to put the trust in the blood of the Lamb when they had to paint it above their doors, right? When God came through and He was killing all the firstborn children of Egypt, God passed over any of the houses that had that blood in the Lamb. Why? Because He told Israel that that's what He would do. If you just trust in the blood and put the blood in front of your door, I will pass right by you. And when we got saved, that's all we did. We just trusted on Jesus Christ. We trusted on God's plan, right? So God had a plan for Israel to be saved from God's judgment. Then He had that same plan for us. Now, if If you're saved here tonight, then you should be thankful that God had a plan.
Amen.
That God still has plans to save people. You know, you might have some family members, you might have some friends, some neighbors, who knows. You know, Pastor was talking about it this morning. But you know, God has a vision. Okay, God's vision is that all men should come to repentance and that they should be saved. So when we look at people that we know that are not saved, we can be thankful that we're saved, and we should be thankful and praise them. But we shouldn't be despairing because so-and-so isn't saved yet, or because someone we know isn't saved yet. Yeah, we should be burdened for them to get saved, and we should give them the gospel, but God has a plan for them. God has a vision that all should be saved. Now, if we just do the easy part by teaching them about God and telling them about God, I think God will do the hard part. He's planned it all for them to be saved. We just need to stay faithful. But God had a plan for Israel here to save them for their sins and to bring them out. They followed and they trusted him, right? But God's plan for Israel didn't stop at the blood of the Lamb. Okay, it did not stop there. After that, we see that Israel are now starting to follow God through Moses. Moses is leading them. And God is bringing them up to the Red Sea. And then they had to trust in God to go through the Red Sea to get to the other side, because God wanted them to go somewhere. God had a plan for them, okay? God's plan for Israel did not stop when they trusted in the Lamb's blood. And it's the same with us. Right? Our Christian life didn't stop when we got saved. That was just the beginning. Right? God has a plan for us that extends well past just being saved. That was just part of God's plan for our lives. Okay? That was just part of His vision. His vision was not for us to trust in Jesus and then to stop. Okay? His vision was for us to trust in Jesus and now keep moving forward to the next part of my plan. Just like Israel here. And we were talking about the vision this morning, Pastor, the vision for the church. That's what he's talking about, is that vision for us to be more than just the Christians that are happy to rest on their salvation. And there's many of them out there that just, they get saved, and they're just going to rest in that. They know they're going to heaven, and they're thankful for it, but they're not doing anything with their life. They're not fulfilling the plan that God has for them. All right, sitting in the chairs is not what the Christian life is. Israel did not sit and camp after they crossed the Red Sea. They have to keep moving. They have to keep moving. And it's the same with Christians. We need to keep following God as He leads us through our life. You know, God began to lead His people to the land which He had promised them. And like any good leader, God had to put certain plans in place and devise a direction in which the people should travel. Okay? And that's what God has for our life. He's got a direction, a vision. He knows where we want to go. We just need to follow Him and listen to Him and obey Him, and He'll bring us to where He wants us to go. But in Exodus 13 here, we see some of God's leadership skills in action concerning Israel, and also some amazing truths regarding His leadership in our lives as well. And that's what I want us to focus on tonight, is just these few verses here and picking out the truths. Okay, we can see what happened here in Israel's history. We can see what God did with Israel here. But we're going to look a step further than that and see, well, what's God telling us about our lives? All right, what can we learn from Israel's history and then apply it to our lives, so that we too can be led by God, okay? And the first thing I want you to notice here, when we go back to Exodus 13 and verses 17 and 18, I want us to see that God has specific paths for His people. God has specific paths for His people. Amen. We see here in verse 17, we'll just read it again. It says, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." So we see here that God intentionally led the children of Israel down a specific path. Okay, now there was probably plenty of paths to where He wanted to bring them. Okay, and He clearly says right here that there was a path that was nearer to them, but God did not want them to go down there. Okay, He wanted them to go down His path. All right, so God's paths are unique. They're very specific. Okay, and what's more is God's paths are only known by Him. Okay, I'm sure there was loads of paths like this one here that was probably signposted. All right, promised land this way. All right, past the Philistines, past the warring nations. But God, if you look at here, God led them through the wilderness. Okay, now if you're traveling around Ireland, and you start moving away from the main cities, and you start heading down to West Cork in the Bear Peninsula, and you start heading down through all these small little roads, you start to see that the further and further away you get from civilization, the less signposts you'd see. Alright? You know, so the paths aren't known. Okay? And especially at this time, there was not councils going around painting in signposts saying, go this way or that way. The main path would have been the only path that people had known, the path most traveled, right? You'd have seen the wearing in the path from all of the people walking that way or from the horses. But God didn't want them to go down that path. God wanted them to go down his own path. And for very specific reasons. Okay, so God's paths are unique and only he knows them. So this whole thing that the world teaches, you know, a lot of the religions today will teach that, you know, all paths lead to heaven. Well, they don't. You know, God said that, Jesus himself had said that I am the way, so I am the path. Alright, there is no other way to heaven but through Jesus. Alright, so all these other guys, all these other paths, Buddha and Mary or whoever else, they're all valid paths, but they're not going to heaven. Okay? They might have signposts that religions have put up, but Jesus didn't put them up there. Jesus is the only path. You see, God's paths are very unique, and only he knows them. God has a very clear direction for our lives. You know, we see in Isaiah 48:17, it says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. So you can even see here that God was speaking and saying that I will bring you my way, I will bring you on the path that I want you to go, and that path is good, it will be profitable for you. And that's exactly what he was doing here with Israel, is that this path that I want you to go down, it will be good for you. It might not be the shortest path, but it'll be the path that'll be good for you. Okay, so God's intentionally leading the children of Israel down a very specific path. And it's the same with our lives. God is leading us down very specific paths. Okay, now, we mightn't know all of the way on that path, you know. The signposts aren't there. No other book can tell us about them. No other person can even tell about them. It's very unique for our lives. God has a very specific path and a very specific direction for each and every one of us. Now, there's some people that might be able to give you guidance or whatever, but they're not the author of that map, right? God is the author of that map for your life. And you'll only find it in his word and through prayer and through being led by the Holy Spirit. And as you start following God, God will start bringing you along that path he's chosen just for you, alright? And we need to stay on that path, okay? There might be an easier path somewhere else. There might be another path that might look better or that might look clearer, but that's not the path that God has chosen for us. There's a very specific path, and we need to stay on that path, okay? It's very unique, and God knows about them because he's built them for us, okay? And he's given us the instruction, he's given us the manual, the roadmap, but we need to followed on his path, okay? They're very unique. And this was a very unique path that God was bringing the children of Israel down, a very specific path. God's chosen path for them, if you notice, was actually a longer path. Right? He specifically says here in verses 17 that the path that was near the Philistines was actually closer to them. They would have gotten into the promised land sooner, but they would have to go through some more troubles to get there. Some turbulent times, some rough things in their life. Now God already knows, okay, God already knows just what Israel could handle here. He knows what they were ready for at this time in their life. You know, so God's chosen path right here at this very moment of time was a longer path. And you know, what I see here is that there's no shortcuts in God's roadmap for our lives. Alright? You know, everything that I see in the workplace, in the corporate world, everything you see in all these, you know, this big flood of self-help books and, you know, businessmen being successful, it's all about finding the shortcuts. It's all about bypassing the hard work, all about bypassing those years that you spend learning about your craft or learning about your job, your trade, bypassing all that and just trying to get further along the path by taking some shortcuts. That's what the world is teaching us, you know. You know, if you want to succeed in the workplace, you need to take a shortcut up the career ladder by stepping on a few heads to get up that extra little few steps, right? You know, it would take too long to climb it all yourself. So if you can do something to take some shortcuts, then that's what's good for you. And that's what you're taught in the workplace. That's what you're taught in the world. But God's word clearly shows us here that the short path is not the best path for us, right? Sometimes the long path is the exact path that we need to go on, and it's for a very specific purpose, and God has all this planned out. You know, when I'm going to photography, I travel a lot. I travel down into these places like the Beer Peninsula, which have no road signs. So I bought a GPS device. Okay, and I take a lot of time programming in the coordinates, you know, planning out my route. And then I'm trusting the GPS device to get me there. You know, and the GPS device is designed to get me to that location. Okay? It's designed for me to trust it, for me to follow it, and for me to get to my destination when I follow it. Now, there's times where I might see a road that, for whatever reason, I might find it might be a good idea to take a detour down this road, because maybe I can see what I want to get to, like the castle or something. I can see in the distance, and you know what? This looks better for me. The GPS is sending me down that road, seems to be going away from it. I'm going to go down this road instead. And the amount of times that I've done that, only to end up in a cul-de-sac or hit a wall or just not be able to get to my destination. And all because I didn't trust in that device which was designed to show me the way and to get me to my destination. Right? And it's the same with God's Word. You know, this is our GPS device. This is our roadmap for our lives. This tells us what God wants us to do. And when we start trusting in our own ways, trusting in our own paths, when we start, you know, making our own decisions and looking for those shortcuts in this Christian life of ours, that's when we end up off of God's path. Okay, that's when we end up off of the road that God has planned out for us. You know, when we hit some dips in our life or some tough times or some unexpected, you know, destinations that we didn't really picture ourselves going to, maybe it's because we got our eyes off of what God was telling us to do and where He wants us to go. Maybe at some place in our life we made a decision that was actually a shortcut and we deviated off that planned route that God had for us. Now, God can get us back on. That's the good thing about a GPS device. As I turn around, it'll start looking for a better route for me and it'll get me back on the road. And God's the exact same, right? If we just, you know, we just need to trust Him. And we all make mistakes. We all take the shortcuts. But when we realize that we've taken the shortcut, when we realize we've made a mistake, we need to then go to God and go, God, you need to get me back on your path. Your path was better. I know this now. It was safer. I need to get back in that path. And God will lead us back in that path. Okay? God kept Israel away from the path near the Philistines. And He did this for a very specific reason. You see, God already knew that the people of Israel at this time, remember, they had just come out from years of bondage. They were weak. They were probably, you know, dismayed. They were probably depressed, discouraged. You know, some of them probably had thought that God had abandoned them, and He kind of didn't in a certain sense. You know, Israel were disobeying Him, and He said, you're going to go down to Egypt for a while. See what life is like on the other side of the fence without me. And they did, and they learned that it wasn't so good on the other side of the fence. But God never forsook them. He was going to come back for them, and that's what His plan of salvation was here. But God still knew at this time that the people of Israel were not ready for the challenges that they were going to face against all of the other nations surrounding the Promised Land at that time. If they were to take the path near the Philistines, they would have been engrossed in battles and wars. They probably would have lost a lot of people, and they probably would have got scared and run away. Now I'm saying probably because I wasn't there, I don't know them. But God said it, that I'm bringing them this way because they probably will. He said they will, okay, see war, and then they'll turn around back to Egypt. They'll go back to what they knew. And people kind of do that. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we do that as well. Sometimes when we don't know the path ahead, we kind of look back to the path behind us that we're comfortable with, right? And we kind of go, well, at least I know what's there. And, you know, I'm used to that, and I can circumnavigate myself. But that's not the wise choice, okay? We should never be going back in the path that we were on before. God got us off that path for a specific reason. You know, we just need to trust God and move forward on His path, and we can forget about the paths behind us because they're not good for us. And you know, we couldn't handle the stuff on some of those paths back then. What makes us think that we're going to be able to handle them now? All right, there's stuff on that path, there's stuff down that road that God does not want us to be playing with, and His mind does not change. All right, we still shouldn't be playing with that stuff. You know, He took us out of the miry clay for a reason. We shouldn't be going back to it. And you know, what we see here is when He led the people away from the path that was near the Philistines, you know, He already knew that Israel couldn't handle some things. And you know, He knew that if they were to go down near the Philistines, that they were going to be facing some things that they weren't ready for. And It's the exact same thing in our lives today. There are certain things that God knows that we're just not ready for. And God is not going to bring us down a path that we're going to face challenges that we're not going to be ready for. God does not want to see us fail. All right? It's okay to fail, but God doesn't plan for us to fail. He doesn't throw us into situations to purposely make us fail. All right? He didn't do it with Israel here, and he doesn't do it with us. All right? God might challenge us, but he already knows what we can handle. And that challenge, although we might feel that we can't handle it, God already knows that we can handle it. You see, that's why it's a challenge, because God knows that we can get through the other side of it, right? And it's the same with Israel here. There were certain things they weren't ready for. On this path that God had selected, yes, there would be some challenges for them, and we read about them in the rest of Exodus. But these were the challenges that God knew that they would be able to handle. And God only brought those challenges to them at times of that journey, at which point he knew that they'd be able to handle them. And it's the same with the Christian life. There's things that pop up into our lives, as unexpected as they might be, but God knows what you can handle and when you can handle it. All right? And it might feel different when you're going through it, but if you're in the will of God and you're following God, rest assured that whatever you're going through is something that God has planned already. God is aware of this. God knows this. Okay? If you've ended up down this path and you were following God's will, then that's the path where God wanted you to go. Okay? We might understand it. We mightn't like where he's bringing us. Okay? I know Israel did not like where God was bringing them here. The wilderness was the wilderness. It was called the wilderness for a reason. There was nothing there. I'm sure there was much better things than the path near the Philistines. There was probably buildings, shelter, food, all those kind of lovely things that we like to cling on to as well. There was none of that in the wilderness. But nonetheless, God brought them down this direction for a certain reason. And it's the same with our lives. God brings us down maybe difficult paths and maybe the paths that seem bare, but he's doing it for a reason. And God won't bring us down things, down paths. He won't present us with challenges that we're not ready for. And you know, sometimes God needs to take us the long way around so that we can be taught a few things. And that was one of the main purposes why he brought him into the wilderness in the first place, was that he could teach them some things. They were in Egypt for a long time. They would have seen things in Egypt that God didn't want them to be following. Alright? When you're surrounded by people, when there's an influence around you, even if you're not hanging out with them like friends, but the very fact that you can see them and you can hear them, there's an influence on you. Right? And Israel here were being influenced by Egypt, by their idol worshipping, by their ungodly ways, and some of that would have been inside some of the people of Israel. And God had to take the time in the wilderness to get that out, to teach them. The first thing that he taught them in the wilderness was that I am your God, I am the only God. He had to reiterate that to them because in Egypt they had seen many gods. They were building gods every week, all right? And he had to specifically take them and to get that information out of them. And it's the same with us. When we're saved, we've got a lot of baggage from our old lives. We've got a lot of influence that the world has had on us. We've got a lot of information, bad information up here, that God needs to get out. So sometimes he'll take us on the longer path so that he can teach us a few things. He needs to work in us and to mold us into the person that he wants us to be. The person that is fit for his plan, right? The fit for his purpose. And until he does that, until he takes that time to teach us and to mold us, we're not going to be fit for that plan. Okay, we're not going to be able to carry out his vision for our lives. So, you know, sometimes the path you might feel that you're on might seem like a long path. It might feel like you've been on it for a while and it might seem tough. But, you know, God is using that for a reason. All right? I can't tell you what that reason is. And I can't begin to understand some of the paths that some of you people are on. But rest assured that whatever path you're on, that's where God wants you to be. Amen. You know, and you should praise him and be thankful that at least you know that there is a God that has designed a specific path for you. As difficult as it might be, that path is unique to you. And God is with you in that path. David said, you know, that the Lord is my shepherd and he's with me when I'm up in the mountains and down in the valleys. God is there. All right? So we should be comforted and thankful of that fact. You know, God's ways are better than our ways. You know, David thought so. You know, he said in Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. So David wanted God to specifically teach him, you know, God's paths, because David already went down some paths of his own. He didn't like them. All right? David wanted God to teach him his path so he could go down. Because God's ways are better than our ways. His paths are better than our paths. You know, Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, Solomon even said twice, you know, it was obviously important because he said it twice, that the paths we choose are often to our own destruction. You know, Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Right. So some of the paths that we think are good, some of the shortcuts that we might want to take, they're not good. You know, and quite often our paths, our ways, our choices will often be the ones that end us down in the wrong destination, or even worse. You know, some people make some very bad choices and take some very bad shortcuts and end up dead. You know, that's what the RU ministry is dealing with, right? People that have made some bad choices. They've taken the wrong shortcut and they might be in a very different destination that God wanted them to be in. But you know, thankfully there's still hope for some people if they would just look up. Just like the GPS turning us around when we want to get back on the right path. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. If you can just look up, look to God and say, God, get me back on the right path. I don't want to be on this one anymore. He will do the hard work. He will turn us around and he'll get us on the right path again. Okay. And you know, God himself told Isaiah the same thing as well in Isaiah 55, chapter 55 verses 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God is clearly telling us that God's ways, his ways, are better than our ways. So when he gives us a path, when he puts us on a specific route that he wants us to take, it's in our interest to stick with that plan, to stick with that route. You know, deviating it off, no matter how short or how fast it might seem, it's not good. Okay, God has planned this out already and it's much better for us. There's a song by an artist named Christian artist named Ben Everson, and the chorus he wrote in that song, in the Pilgrim song, you know, specifically talks about this. You know, it says that my Father planned it all ahead of time for me. Each circumstance, each step and path selected carefully. And you know, he had a very specific path that he selected very carefully out of all the other paths that are around him. He had this very specific path selected carefully for the people of Israel. And that's the same with our life. God has spent a lot of time and effort carving out a specific path and a specific route for us to go down. You know, he's been careful about it. There is nothing on that path that shouldn't be there. So we shouldn't be surprised about it. We just need to stick with God, you know, lean on God for the tough time when we're on that path. But everything that's on that path is there, was planted there for our benefit. We mightn't like it and we mightn't seem to understand it at the time, but whatever God puts in our path is there for our betterment. It's for our learning. It's for to make us into the people that he wants us to be, right? So we should just be thankful that God has a selected path for all of us, that he's been careful about it and he hasn't just been flippant about things like we are. You know, sometimes when I'm plotting my routes to locations, I don't pay attention to some things, and that's why I miss the road that's no longer there because it's been detoured. Or, you know, when my GPS map is 6 months out of date and the road isn't there and I can't see where I'm going. You see, I can miss these things and we can all miss these things, but God doesn't miss these things. He's been very careful about the path that he's selected for us, just like the people of Israel here. Now, secondly, you know, when we look at Exodus 13 here in verse 21, it says, and the Lord went before them by a day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. So secondly here, we see that God guides his people. God guides his people. God had guided Israel by day in a cloud and by night in a pillar of fire. Okay? They were his resources in the light of the children of Israel at that time to lead them. That's what God had given them. They didn't have the completed word of God yet, but he was able to give them the cloud during the day so they could follow the cloud where they were going, and they could also follow the pillar of fire by night so they could see where they were going. God had placed some resources, he had given them some resources into the children of Israel's life so that they could follow him. Alright, he wasn't telling them to go to a place without giving them the resources they needed to get there. Alright, there was always something for them to keep their eyes on so they could see exactly where God wanted to go. God had given them some resources. He was guiding them. And you know, God has given us, Christians, several resources as well. You know, God also, just like with Israel here, where he had a destination in mind for them, and a path that he wanted them to take and gave them the resources to help navigate that path. It's the same with us today. God has given us several resources. In fact, he's given us more resources than the people of Israel ever had. All right, he's given us loads of resources. First of all, he's given us his word. Right, we have this. They did not have this. All right, they had Moses speaking on God's behalf. All right, and you know, there was things that were going to happen, future events for them that they weren't aware of yet. They weren't aware of what they were going to face in their path. But we have all that historical information here about what Israel did face in their path. We can see their ups and their downs. We can see when they deviated and took the shortcuts, and we can see what happened as a result, and we can see when they were following God, how they benefited from that. So we have the more sure word, as the Bible puts, Bible calls itself. We have the completed revelation of God. We've got something very precious. You know, Pastor was talking this morning about people that, you know, died so that we could have this. You know, there was lots of people, lots of Christians that gave their lives so that we could have this resource. All right, and yet people aren't using it. All right, you know, I've had lots of conversations over the last few weeks, different people, and I firmly believe that the biggest problem with Christians today is that we're not using the resource that God has given us. We're not using his roadmap. You know, people are just not studying the word of God. You know, they might read it, or they might listen to verses, or they might come to church, but they're not studying the Bible. They're not studying what God has said. They're not studying what happened in the lives of Israel. They're not studying what happened in the lives of all these different people. And they're not studying what God has told will happen in our lives. That's why they're getting caught off guard. That's why they're deviating off the path when they shouldn't do, because they're not studying the Bible. And if we don't get back to putting the focus on the resource that God has given us, his word for one of them, how can we expect that we can follow God's leading down the path that he's selected for us? Right? If God has given us a GPS device and we're not plugging it in, then how can we expect to get to the destination safely, get to the destination in the path that we're supposed to go down, or to even get to the destination at all? If we're not using God's word and following it and studying it and understanding what he's trying to tell us here, we're going to get lost. It's as simple as that. We are going to take the wrong path somewhere in our life. But it's all here. We just need to go to it. I see it online every day amongst Christian groups. There is a serious amount of Christians that are so far away from the path that God has for their lives for no other reason than they're not studying the Word of God. They're not studying. They might own a Bible. They might even read it on a daily basis, but they're not studying it. They're not taking the time to find out, what does that verse mean? What's God saying there? What happened there with that people of Israel? And what does it mean for me? They're not taking the time. And if we don't take the time, then just like them, we're going to end up on the wrong path. We're going to end up going down the place that God doesn't want us to go. So God has given us his word, and it's something that we need to put power into our lives. It's the number one resource that he's given us. You know, David in the Psalms, again, the Psalms are full of praise for the word and for God's statutes and laws. And David says in Psalm 18, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, it's tested, it's proved. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." You know, when I'm using my GPS device, sometimes it might lead me down the wrong path. And then, because I might not know the road or something. So then when I go home, I'll have to make a note of that and change the path for next time. So when I'm going down there, I know that I'm not supposed to go down that way, right? Whereas God's word is perfect. David said it's tested. It's proven to work. This will always get us to the destination that God wants to go. But yet we still seem to want to go down our own way. We still want to seem to trust in our own devices, as opposed to trusting in the device that God has given us, his word, right? You know, Psalm 119:105 says that his word, okay, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lights show us what way we're going. Alright, when we're on a dark path, the light shows us the way. So you can see here, God is clearly giving us his word so that we can know where he wants us to go. So that we have a resource to help us on that path that he's put out before us. The word is the most precious thing that we have, and yet it's the most neglected thing amongst Christians. We just, for some reason, we just don't seem to use it. Alright? And it's probably bigger amongst Christian men than it is women, because we just want to do our own thing all the time. You know? We just want to come up with our own solution, our own roadmap, our own way. We have that problem. which is why we need to trust in this even more, because if we stick to our own ways, we're going to end up in the wrong destination, in the wrong path. But not only His Word, God has given us the Holy Spirit. You know, in John 16:13, it says, you know, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So not only do we have the Word of God, but we also have the Holy Spirit in us that helps us navigate through the Word of God. So if we were just studying the Word of God and praying to God and letting the Holy Spirit teach us what we've learned, you know, we're all the wiser for it. You know, we've studied out God's roadmap then, all right? We've looked at the route that He's put before us, and we've actually seen all the possible deviations, and we're actually now going to avoid them, right? If we just trust His Word and use the Holy Spirit, He can do that. But not only that, He's given us pastors and teachers, right? In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, and He gave some, speaking of God, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So not only has He given us the Word and He's filled us with the Holy Spirit, but He's also given us certain people in our lives, pastors and teachers, that help us to understand the Word of God, help us to break it down, also that we can understand what God is trying to tell us, understand the information that God has given us, so that we can go down the right paths in our lives. You know, like, pastor might know the destination in our lives that God has for us, but at least he knows the Bible and he can help us to navigate through that path, right? He can't tell us where we're going, but at least he can tell us how to get there. Stick with God, follow His Word, follow the roadmap, and everything will be okay. It mightn't be easy, but it will be okay. You will end up in the right place. So He's given us some pastors and teachers. You know, we need to be taught. We need to study. We need to read, study, and understand for ourselves. But there's certain times, there's certain things that will just escape us. For whatever reason, we've read over it thousands of times and we just didn't see that verse, or we just didn't take the time to understand it, or whatever the case might be. There's always a need for someone to be in our life to help teach us, right? The Ethiopian eunuch was exactly like that. He said, you know, when he was asked, do you understand what you read? His response was quite simply, he said, how can I, you know, unless someone teach me, show me, you know? And it's the same with us. You know, we might know a lot of things, but there's always something we're missing. And that's why, you know, if you're looking for a purpose as to why there's pastors and teachers, it's to help fill in the blanks. It's to help fill in the things that we've missed. You know, we can study our Bible every day, and we might still miss some things. That's why God has placed certain people in our lives, people in the church that could help us, either through their experience or through their time in God's Word and or possibly through their spiritual gifts. Right, God might have given that person a specific spiritual gift for teaching, you know, and they might understand some things that we don't. All right, that's why they're there. That's what God has given us to. That's why He's given them to us. He gave the apostles for a specific purpose. That purpose was met when the church was started and we got the completed revelation. There's no apostles needed anymore. They don't have a purpose. You know, prophets, same thing. They're not needed anymore because it was all prophesied. It's all captured in here. There's nothing else happening after revelation. It's all in here. But there is a need today for evangelists and for pastors and teachers. There's a need for people to go out and tell people about Jesus. That's where the evangelists come in. Then there's a need for people to be taught about Jesus. That's where the pastors and teachers come in. Alright? Someone will teach you, and then the pastors help shepherd you, help control, and help the church to grow. Keep us safe. Keep us on that path, right? You know, sometimes if there's a path in a field that the farmer's built, you know, the shepherd will put up fences or walls or electric wire to keep his cattle and his livestock down that path, because he doesn't want them to get off. And that's why God has given us these resources, His Word, the Holy Spirit, and even pastors and teachers, that will help put up some of those electric fences in our lives, so to speak, so that we can stay on the path that God wants us to go down, right? So God has given us resources. You know, every child has a parent, you know, they started off with a parent, at least. They've been given a parent. You know, sometimes parents neglect that responsibility. They might choose to not want it for whatever reason. Who knows? But the fact remains that God did give that child a parent at some point, and that parent might have neglected their responsibility, but most parents choose to actually do what God wants them to do and actually bring up their children. You know, even people that are unsaved, they do their best to raise their children the best way they can. Right? And God has given that child those unsaved parents. So I've got unsaved parents. And they mightn't be able to tell me anything from God's word, but God still put them in my life for a reason. You know, I can still learn from them. I'm always learning from them. You know, and, you know, everyone in here, you know, at one point or another had parents, if you don't still already have them, and you still learn something from them. You know, they're there for a reason. You know, and the Word, the Holy Spirit, our pastors and teachers in the church, and even our parents, they all need to be obeyed, and they all need to be followed. That's why they're there. That's why God placed them in our lives, so that we could learn from them, and so that He could use them, use those resources to keep us on that path that He has for us. So you can see that God guides His people. Next, I want you to see that God is faithful in His leadership. In verse 22, we see, it says, He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So God is faithful in His leadership. God continued to guide Israel day by day and night by night while they were on that specified path. While God was taking them down that path away from the Philistines, while He was taking them down His path that He chose for them to bring them to the promised land, while they were on that path, God was faithful. God never left them. All right, He was there all the time. That cloud was there by the day, and the fire, the pillar of fire by night, constantly leading the way for the children of Israel. He was faithful in His leadership. And you know, one of the things, you know, that as I was studying this for the week, one of the things that just popped out of me is, you know, God never stops leading. All right, it's His people that stop following. Right, and when you read through the entire Old Testament, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing Israel, His people, who he's trying to lead, and at times they follow, and then at times they don't follow. God never stopped leading them. It was Israel that stopped following them. And it's the same with the Christians, the same with us. You know, God never stops leading us. It's just that we, for whatever reason or another, sometimes we stop following Him. You know, and we need to be careful that we don't end up in that position where we stop following God. You know, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, and specifically says that that we should take heed, we should be careful that there's not an evil heart in us, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And that's what was being talked about there. He was referencing the people of Israel that had that evil heart of unbelief who decided to stop following God, and they left them. They stopped following His leadership. But God was still faithful in that time. You know, anyone that was willing to follow Him, God brought them with Him. Right through Israel's history, if there was even one person that was there that was willing to still follow Him, then God would bring that person where He wants them to go. All right, so God never stopped leading. It was just His people stopped following Him. And we need to be careful that we don't end up in that situation as well, that we choose to put God aside and stop following Him because we want to go down our own way or do our own path. We need to be as faithful as He is. You know, if God is always faithful in His leading, shouldn't we be faithful in our following? Isn't that the request that God is making on Israel and making on our lives? Follow me. You know, that's what he said to Peter and Matthew. Follow me. Amen. Right? I'm going this way. You don't know where I'm going, but just follow me. Amen. You know, and that's, you know, when you read through Hebrews chapter 11 and you see all these men of faith, like Noah when he was building the ark, or Abraham, or Moses, or Gideon, or Samson, these different people, none of them were perfect, you know, but they were faithful. Right? At one point in their lives, even if it was just for one point, they followed God. They followed God to do whatever God wants them to do. And we need to be like that as well, that we just stay faithful, just like God is faithful. You know, the Bible says that He, you know, faithful is He who called us, who also will do it. Alright? You know, so if God's willing to do the hard stuff, if He was willing to take the time to create the plan, to create the roadmap, to create the path, and to stay faithful while bringing us down that path, shouldn't we just stay faithful and following Him? No matter what comes up on that path. So you can see God is faithful in His leadership. And lastly, and I think most importantly, is, you know, God's leading requires His people's yielding, you know. And I think this is the clincher, you know, when we look at this passage of Scripture and we see that it finishes here with God's faithfulness. And we go on in the verses after that, at least for a time, Israel yielded to God's leading in their life. Right? God was trying to bring Israel down a certain place. He was trying to bring them down a certain path. And at least for a period in their lives, they were yielding, okay, they were submitting to God's leadership in their lives. Okay? And Israel had to submit. They had to yield to God's leadership and follow God down His chosen path. And so do we. We also need to yield to God. We also need to yield to His leadership. As I said, God has a path for us, and He wants to lead us down there. He's willing to lead us down there, and He'll be faithful in leading us down that path. But His leadership will only be as effective as our following. Right? If we're not willing to follow Him, if we're not willing to yield to His leadership, then it's not going to be very effective in our lives, and it won't be for any lack on God's part. It'll be simply because we haven't yielded to Him. We haven't submitted to Him. You know, God's leading does not happen automatically. You know, we have to choose. We have to choose to submit and to yield to His leading in our lives. If you're sitting down thinking that God's going to do all the work, you're mistaken. Because God didn't do all the work for Israel, and He certainly is not going to do all the work for us. There are certain things that God expects us to do. You know, that's why He's given us these resources. If there was no work for us to do after we were saved, then we wouldn't need these resources. We would just get to wherever God wants us to go by osmosis. All right? Which is what some Christians seem to think that they get saved and it's all good because God's going to get me to heaven. That's true, but there's a big path between here and heaven. And I'm pretty sure that God has certain things that He wants accomplished before we get to heaven. All right? And once we get to heaven, we're not going to have a chance to accomplish all those things. You know, when God details crowns for people that are faithful to Him, crowns for people and rewards that are serving Him and just doing the things that He designed for the paths of their lives. You know, when we get to heaven, you know, surely we want to be in a position, not that we can glory ourselves, but that we can be praiseful and thankful that we've got something to show for our Christian lives that we can give back to Jesus, right? You mean, Jesus, you bought me, you invested your life in me, and I might not have been able to do much, but at least I've done this much. At least I've done this, you know? And God will be grateful for that. God will be happy with that. He'll be pleased with that, you know? I'm sure He'll be pleased just to see you in heaven, but I think, according to the Bible, He'll be more pleased if you've lived your life the way He wanted us to be lived out. Alright, so we need to yield to God's leadership in our lives. You know, when God's people take their eyes away from His leadership and His path, that is when we mess up. Alright, I know for a fact in my life, since I've gotten saved, any time that I've taken my eyes from God, or taken my eyes away from the resources that He's given to lead me, or take the shortcut in life, that's when I mess up. That's when I go down the wrong path. That's when I take the wrong turn, so to speak. It's not because God put the wrong turn in the path. It's because I made a choice. I took my eyes off Him and I went down the wrong path. And it's the same with all Christians. When you take your eyes off God's leadership and His path, that's when we mess up. That's when we make the bad decisions. That's when Jonah made a bad call, when he decided to go his own way, and that's when we'll make a bad call. You know, God is grieved when His people do not follow after Him. You know, in the Psalms, in Psalms 81:13, it says, "Oh, that my people hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." Alright, like, this is God speaking. And He's saying, my people, Israel, if only they'd listened to me, if only they followed me, and stayed with my leadership and my plan and path for their life, and that they'd stayed walking in my ways, Israel wouldn't have been in the position that they were in. They wouldn't have been in the bad place that they were at. You know, everywhere that Israel ended up was of their own making. Was of their own choice, their own doing. And God is grieved when His people, which is us, when we're saved, we are His people now. When we make the wrong calls, we make the wrong choices, God says the same thing about us. That He's grieved that we didn't hearken unto Him, that we didn't follow His leadership in our lives. It grieves Him. But on the contrary to that, you know, God's people are blessed when they do follow after. In Psalm 128, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." So you can see here, God is not contradicting Himself. He's saying that these are both valid. All right, I am grieved when you don't follow me, but when you do follow me, I'll bless you. You know, I won't make everything perfect in your life. I won't give you the easy things on your path, but you will be blessed. When we fear God, and we do follow after him, we'll be blessed. And God is saying that. Right? God is saying that I'm grieved when you don't listen to me, but I'm pleased when you do listen to me. Alright? When you follow me, I'm happy. When you don't follow me, I'm not happy. It's quite simple as that. You know, it's like, you know, with my children, when they do what I tell them to do, that's when I'm happy. Okay? And when they don't do what I tell them to do, that's when I get angry. And God is the same. God is this. We get these emotions from him. You know, sometimes I'm like, you know. But that's what God was like with Israel when they kept going off that path. God was angry with them. Right? And God gets angry with us too when we go off that wrong path. When we go off the path he selected for us. You know, he's a lot more right to get angry than I do, because he's put a lot more time and effort into planning out this path for my life. He's put a lot of effort into planning out the road that I'm supposed to take. He's done all the hard work. He's moved all the obstacles, the things that I wasn't ready for. He's directed me around them. But yet I still choose to do my own thing at times, and I still want to go down the hard paths. Isn't that a sad thing for Christians, that we choose to go down our own ways when God's ways are so much simpler, as he says? You know, so God's leading requires his people's yielding, and I think that's the clincher. You know, we have all the rest of it. We know he's faithful. We know he's not going to stop leading us. We know we've got resources that he's given to lead us. And we know that we have a specific path that he wants to lead us down. But if we're not willing to yield to his leadership in our lives, then all of that stuff doesn't matter. Right? You can just push it aside until that decision is made in your heart that I'm going to follow you, that I'm going to yield. You know, that means to give up or to give over your own path, or your own ambitions, your own vision, and to take on God's vision for your life instead. Until that happens, until we yield, God's not going to be able to lead us to where he wants us to go. Alright? I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. Lord,